Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast powered by betonline.ag, and it's finally here. No more preview podcasts, no more talk of win totals. NFL week one, and Payne, I know you've been chomping at the bit for this weekend to finally be so close that we can touch it.
You forgot the most important part of that intro.
Which particular part? I forget a lot of important parts.
We're discussing a real sport now, too.
Oh, here we go. You know, we got a lot of people out there who listen to the college podcast. It may have been the first exposure they've had to Bet the Board. I'm sure your disdain for the amateur ranks will come off. You know, what?
I just like solid football, like solid play. It's like the equivalent. And I've gotten you now to where college basketball is tough to watch, right?
I know you've.
It's awesome. You can't dunk a basketball. You blow layups. You can't catch, you know, 5-yard passes. It drives me nuts. So I like the professional level.
I feel like you've been a negative influence in that regard. I mean, when we first started doing these years ago, I was a huge college basketball fan, loved college football, still haven't soured as much on college football as I have college basketball. But I'm going, you know what? Payne raises some pretty good points. Open jump shots fall in the NBA. The NFL players do what they're supposed to do. And it's not like you're rooting against mistakes to be able to try and cash those tickets.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And I think the good comparison here is like I just feel like there's a lot more of an edge, you know? Like, we had the Jacksonville Jaguars the other night, right?
Yep, preseason game, not live dog,
so
plus three.
You take plus three in that game. They throw three red zone turnovers, interceptions, and they still went outright. We have Miami of Ohio this past week. Beat the market by 5.5 points and lose because three touchdowns, non-offensive.
Wait, you mean
so that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. Like, the special teams coach, what are you doing?
You mean
kick the damn
up
thing out of bounds at this point. Have them start the goddamn 35.
Well, I mean, I can, and I'll take it one step further. I mean, we gave out two games on the college podcast that actually won, as we always try and
they
do.
They did better than I did.
Yeah, exactly. Give out the strongest stuff with Troy. You get there by the hook, and you get Alabama first half under. But I was an NC State ticket holder as well, and you're going to tell me they get almost double up in terms of yardage and all the other key metrics, lose the game outright. But hey, there's all sorts of those things that happen, and we're going to talk about it plenty throughout the fall, not only in college, but in pros. You trust the process, you dig into those box scores, and things have a tendency to correct themselves if you find yourself on the right side more often than not. Contest update, Payne. Last check, we had over 1,100 entrants competing for the football free roll and $5,000 cash prize. Actually, probably over $6,000 when we give out some of those weekly prizes on top of the season-long crown.
I did not check this morning. I know last night before I went to bed, we were well over 1,100, approaching 1,200. So we'll be over 1,200 today for that contest. Go to bettheboard.footballcontest.com, sign up. We'll actually, you know, we were discussing the actual prize structure based on how many entrants. Maybe we run a poll on your Twitter account and we kind of give ideas and let them vote as to the prize structure. Maybe that will work best. But it's absolutely $5,000 up for grabs plus weekly prizes. We just got to need to figure out how many people sign up for this. You will have until Sunday 11:55 or 12:55 p.m.
Well, let's not even say 12:55.
Yeah, you need to sign up and enter your picks by then.
Yeah,
don't wait until the last minute, but you do have until Sunday to do it. And that's the other thing. One of the things is we're not going to be manually entering this stuff in. So get your plays in enough time so there's no issues. If you go out the night before, get drunk, and you wake up, you know, at 11 or 12:55, and you think you're going to enter picks and not get them in, I'm going to manually enter them. That's not going to happen. So be responsible.
And the other thing to tell people as well, we've gotten a lot of questions about when those lines will be available. Right now, the game plan is about 12 o'clock Eastern on Wednesdays, but you'll definitely have them up plenty of time in advance.
It's in the rules section.
Yeah, I mean, people
are
asking.
That thing that smacks you right in the face when you log in.
The whole part about you can only have one entry, you need to sign up with your Twitter account, you have to be following Bet the Board Pod on Twitter. Make sure you're following all those rules. There's nothing that's going to make you and I feel worse pain than when somebody goes 5-0, or heaven forbid they win the season-long prize pack, and they're not following the rules that they have to adhere to. So do that. Make it easier on yourself. It's hard enough to pick enough winners over the course of 17 weeks.
Yeah, that would just mean more shoes for me if I don't have to pay somebody out at the end of the year.
Well, we're going to have to pay somebody. Let's just hope we just have to pay the people that actually earn it.
It would stink, though, if you won the pool and didn't follow those rules.
It's one of those things. Following directions.
Hit follow. That's it.
You know, following directions is one of those more underrated skills in life these days. But thankfully, when it comes to betting the National Football League, there aren't necessarily ironclad rules. But want to get your take on NFL Week 1. I know we talk a little bit about handicapping strategy and theory. I mean, are you of the mindset for numbers that have been on the board this long? And of course, we'll get Dave Mason's take later in the show. Is there still ample opportunity, or do you look at this as, hey, you know what? These are stale lines. A lot of the value's been zapped. I need to wait for weeks 2 through 4 to be able to really try and get in there and make a splash.
No. If there's opportunity, there's opportunity. A lot of these lines haven't moved a ton. I know last year, I think it was last year, we had significant movement in, was it Tennessee-Kansas City game, where that thing moved almost like 5 points. It didn't matter the number you got.
Obviously, I think that might have been a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, these lines are going to move, but a lot of, when you look at this particular week, a lot of these are through zero, so the value hasn't completely vanished. Every single game's its own entity, so if you made a game, let's say Tennessee, you made that line, Tennessee -3. There's still value there. Obviously, it would have been nice to get +1, but not as much value in a game like that has been zapped when it's through the zero.
And I think it's always important. I mean, we talk about line moves and how all line moves are not created equally, whether it's college football, which we'll drum home, or the NFL. You want to know what those key numbers are. You want to know exactly how it changes your expected win percentage. And you hit the nail on the head. Going from, you know, +1 to -1.5, not nearly as big as watching hooks disappear around key numbers like 3s or 7s. And these are the kind of things that when you look at it from almost a thin slicing perspective, you'll get a better understanding the longer that you're in this particular game. And Payne, we talk about it as being creatures of habit for setting up schedules and routines. I try and emphasize it as much. Hey, we know that a lot of the listeners out there don't have the same time to dedicate to this craft as we do. But from structuring their weeks to knowing, all right, I'm going to look at the opening lines, I'm going to listen to the Bet the Board podcast, figure out schedules to be able to make sure that you can have a rinse and repeat type approach to put yourself in the best position to win throughout the course of the fall.
Yeah, I think it's probably just best for human beings in general, right? To have some type of daily regimen where you're waking up at the same time every day, you're doing this at the same time every day, especially when it comes to this. We know when lines come out, whether you're firing at open or you're kind of just organizing your list of leans that you're going to later confirm throughout the course of the week. You want that to be every single week, the same process, the same routine. And obviously you're tweaking things within that. If you see a line that starts to move a little bit and it's in the direction that you feel it should be going, maybe you get out ahead. But just doing the same things every single week is really going to form a nice repetition that I think you need as a sports bettor.
All right, I have to show the personal side of this business. Well, we know all about your 7 ice cubes and your Tito's, although I'm not sure the listeners would be happy to hear that you're not drinking nearly as much this football season. Maybe you're on the avocado ice cream kick like Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. What is a typical Sunday like for you during football season?
Yeah, it's not fun. I mean, I think people get so wrapped up. This isn't like a glamorous life by any stretch. But, you know, wake up the same time in the morning.
I think glamour should be the exact opposite of what it takes to make it in this industry, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't endorse doing this. You wake up, same time basically every morning, fire up everything. I mean, the odd screen stays on overnight. You got 4 or 5 computer screens going, a couple TVs going, and it's nonstop from the time you wake up until the late game's over, whether it's, you know, looking at halftime stuff, I mean, it's not glamorous by any stretch. Maybe you sneak down, grab some food here and there, but that's about it. I'm locked in front of screens all day long.
It almost feels like it's got that day trader type approach to it, that you're constantly...
That's exactly what it is. The unfortunate part here is, and I've made this joke, and I'm not sure we could ever see it change simply because the time's game starts, but you're much better off being a stockbroker. So, like, you know when the market opens, you know when it closes. Like, you're going to be able to have a life once it closes. This, I mean, I kid you not, we were talking about a college football game yesterday. I take a 45-minute nap, and I wake up, and the game goes from 9 to 6 on a holiday, nonetheless.
It's getting early and earlier.
So it's just getting ridiculous right now with the way the market is, and we've had this conversation. It's driving the guys that wager significant money. Like, it's just driving them crazy. The $500 bettor, the $1,000 bettor that has no limit restrictions, that semi has a clue what they're doing, is moving Sunday night, is moving Monday on a damn vacation. So it's becoming quite a tough racket for the guys looking to get down the most money. And it just becomes what? It means there's more dummy money in the market. They're going to be messing with stuff more than ever before to get the numbers they really want.
Oh, and we've seen that firsthand. I mean, betonline.ag first up with college football numbers, and they openly admit that they take lower limits, albeit with rebet functionality. And you see those things going absolutely haywire before they ultimately settle in. But you're exactly right. And people ask all the time, is the first move real? Is this, you know what? Every game is a little bit different. But if you're following steam on the opens or watching all those Monday moves intently, unless you know what's going on with them, you have to be very careful. And I think you say it all the time when we talk sports gambling, whether it's football, whether it's NFL, whether it's college basketball. Unless you know the intent of a particular move, you have to be so careful jumping into the deep end of the pool, just kind of chasing those numbers.
While my odds screen is up every day, all day, it's become less and less valuable because of that. You know, a lot of times guys just be able to watch the screen. Okay, this moved. I'm gonna bet this even at a bad number. It's just a much different day and age right now with the battle that's going on, specifically because of that. He's not a world beater, but he's probably profitable, especially at the early numbers, getting down his 500 or 1,000 bucks. That better has changed the entire market.
It's always crazy to try and keep tabs on what goes on. We may as well jump into the first game of the NFL season, Payne, taking place Thursday night. The defending Super Bowl champs will hang their banner. They'll get their rings, or at least I think. And they'll open up with the Kansas City Chiefs as 8.5-point favorites at betonline.ag. Total in this game, 48. Some inclement weather potentially in the forecast, rain. We know how well the Patriots perform when the elements are against them. And I asked you this quite honestly before we get into some of the X's and O's here. Is the market responded the right way to New England? I mean, this is one of the best teams in football, and they're on an against the spread run of 24-10 over their last 34 games. What do books need to do, or should they be doing, to almost try and elicit balanced action on all things involving New England?
It's a similar feel to Alabama, but I will say this. There's one caveat there. When you look at the schedule they faced last year and in the quarterbacks, it really contributed to a lot of that. That strength of schedule is going to go up this year. So last year, much of an anomaly, I feel like, when you look at who they played quarterback-wise. It was just downright brutal, the list of QBs they played.
Oh, it wasn't. I mean, aside from what, Russell Wilson, maybe the only healthy guy they played during the regular season that you would put up in the top tier?
That was it.
Yeah. I mean, hard for things to get worse this season. I mean, it's not like Alex Smith is going to put the fear of God into them either in the season opener.
No. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch New England offensively. I think we all just assume the greatest QB ever to play is going to keep on ticking. When you look at this, since 2000, there's been just 7 quarterbacks to throw a pass over the age of 40. We saw some decline in velocity late in the year. I will say this, the way the league's heading with that shorter pass, and New England's smarter than everybody, so they've already employed the short pass game, passing to the running backs. It requires, you know, more accuracy, less arm strength, so he's going to be fine. Edelman was targeted 159 times last season. He is going to be missed no matter what. Can Gronk stay healthy? That's a huge question. We look at Brady's numbers with and without Gronk. There's a precipitous drop there. You're implementing kind of new weapons all over the place offensively. Cooks, Dorsett most recently, Gillislee, Burkhead. Dwayne Allen, and he's come out and said this offense is extremely hard to grasp. So I think there's going to be a learning curve here early in the season. That all said, I don't like the Chiefs, right? I mean, from a professional bettor standpoint, there's going to be two-way action here. Math guys have already been laying it with New England all summer. I think larger bettors end up at some point on the dog here, especially if this touches 10. This game isn't for me. The only way I'm considering it is if I'm in dire need of a teaser leg. Maybe I'm looking at the Patriots. You talked about the weather. That's the biggest thing here. And I talked about maybe a slow start for the New England offense with all its new parts. Probably lends itself to a look under.
I think that's the only way to try and go. The one fear that I would have, I've seen so many Patriots games played in rain, played in snow, where you watch this under money come flowing in, and it's almost as though New England raises their game, their level of focus when they're dealing with elements. I mean, this offense just clicks on all cylinders, but I would echo those sentiments. When you talk about breaking in all those new pieces, potentially a slow start, some weather, the pageantry around the Super Bowl celebration, I can definitely see that being intriguing if the number should get there and all the elements line up come Thursday night.
No doubt about it, the pageantry. That's nice.
I mean, I'm trying to use big words. I mean, if anything, this podcast should be somewhat educational.
There
right?
you go.
Expand your vocabulary, learn a little bit of gambling along the way, you know, prove that we aren't one-trick ponies. But from,
yeah, I hear you.
From New England and the capital of the football world to the capital of this fine country, where the Washington Redskins play host to the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about line moves. This may be one of the bigger ones we've seen. And Payne, I get the feeling this may not be done moving right now. You're looking at the Eagles pick minus 20 at betonline.ag in this particular contest. Total sits at 47.5. This is a number that opened up during the summer with the Redskins, a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, by our overall team efficiency metrics, Philly was the only team that ranked in the top 10 overall and failed to make the playoffs. So major buy signal there, I think, for a lot of professional bettors. Year two of Doug Peterson's offense, year two of Jim Schwartz's defense, and that guy's a wizard defensively. We made mention on the preview podcast, Philadelphia ranked fourth in defensive efficiency despite facing the number one toughest schedule of opponent offenses. Now you add Ronald Darby, you add Bennett through the draft, you bring in Timmy Jernigan, you bring in Chris Long with that championship pedigree. It's the overall schedule that concerns me, but I think this is a team that's going to have value to play on week to week. When I was doing some reading, I don't love the fact Lane Johnson came out in his Players Tribune article that Philly was going to whoop the Redskins. It has now provided some locker room motivation this week for the Redskins, so that concerns me a little bit. Washington has had Philadelphia's number here, won both matchups a season ago, won five straight. Philadelphia has circled this on the schedule. They've been focusing on this game all offseason, saying this needs to be the game that determines our future. It's literally, it's been that nuts. Like, this is the game that's going to determine the direction of the franchise with Wentz, with Peterson, year two now under their belts. So they are super focused on this game. Sue Cravens is going to be missed. When I start to look at potentially how Philadelphia likes to operate offensively with Ertz over the middle, now that there's two deep passing threats, Ertz is going to have a lot of room over the middle this season. Sproles, they've been babying during the preseason. They're really limiting his touches, but he is going to be an integral part of this offense again. If you can't cover him out of the backfield, that's going to be a tough ask. So far, this move appears to be real.
And when we look at some of the on-field matchups, Payne, obviously the big question for the Eagles this season will be the secondary. We know it was their Achilles heel a year ago. You look at the Redskins and their primary mode of moving the football down the field via Kirk Cousins' arm and a very new receiving core. What kind of expectations do you have for Washington on that side of the football? And do you think Philadelphia can do enough with a potential pass rush to neutralize some of the deficiencies they may have in that defensive backfield?
You know, Gruden's one of the best offensive minds. So they're going to have opportunity here, right? This is one of the most efficient passing attacks. There's just a lot of new faces there. What's the situation with Doxson? Does he have that rapport with Cousins because he's done nothing but miss time? Pryor, he's certainly going to be a nice addition, but again, contract year, he's on a one-year deal. when he doesn't start getting the ball? Is he going to act out like he usually does? What's his relationship? What's his chemistry with Kirk Cousins? We know Crowder is going to move to the slot. I just don't know. But certainly, if Washington does have an edge in this game, they're going to have to execute offensively through the air, take advantage of that, you know, Eagles secondary that has question marks, no doubt about it.
How far, in your opinion, do you think we could see this Philadelphia number if it continues in the direction it is? Do you think there is a chance it gets to 2, 2.5, and, you know, even as high as 3?
It's definitely going to be on the move.
Be interesting to keep tabs on where this thing goes. We talk about all the time as potential teaser legs. If you do have a book like Bet Online that offers you a pick 'em right now, might be in your best interest to use Philadelphia, potentially getting them out to 7, right around a key number. From that game to Oakland and Tennessee, for whatever reason, third straight year, the Raiders will go on the road to Nashville. They've won the previous two meetings, 24-21 back in 2015, 17-10 a year ago, and you alluded to it earlier. Right now, you're looking at the Titans, a two-point favorite at betonline.ag, total in this game, 50.5. They did initially open up as short dogs. Two teams that I think a lot of people really believe could be headed to the postseason this year. Tennessee, odds on favors to win their division. Now, I know there's been sharp money on Oakland's win total, but if you believe the way futures have been bet, the general public sees the Raiders as a team very capable of knocking off the New England Patriots in the AFC.
When it comes to this game, which team fixed the glaring weakness? That's what this is going to come down to. Tennessee's secondary, they were dreadful last year, allowed 66% of passes to be completed. They're going to now face this Raiders offense that was fourth in passing efficiency. When you look at the other side of the ball, Oakland's defensive line had issues doing just about everything last year. 20th in yards per carry allowed, 28th in stuff rate, you know, runs where you stop the opposing running back at zero or negative yards. They were horrific getting after the quarterback, dead last in the NFL with 25 sacks. The Titans offense wants to maul your defensive line. So whoever takes advantage of the weakness, whoever fixed their holes is going to come out on top here. From a market perspective, if you listen to the preview podcast, everything we said is coming to fruition here, right? The sharp guys don't feel Oakland will have as much success as they did a season ago, where they were plus 16 in turnover differential, 8-1 in games decided by 7 or less, had 7 game-winning drives. The win expectancy was like 7.6. They win 12. So the sharp guys are fading them, and we know both the public and the professionals are on the Titans this year. So this move in the market should not surprise. And I think it only continues in one direction.
Yeah, and when we look at it, I mean, indicative of probably how these teams will be viewed. I mean, we've talked at great lengths as well about the coaching situations for both these teams. Do you give either head coach an advantage here when you're handicapping the game, whether it's Mike Mularkey being a mental midget on the Titans sidelines or Jack Del Rio and what he does for the Oakland Raiders in terms of elevating their level of play?
Yeah, I don't like either of them. I don't think either are that great. You know, you have a defensive coach that isn't getting much out of his defense. You have Mularkey, who's not very innovative offensively, and I think that's going to really limit the ceiling for the Titans this year. The other element to this game, and it hasn't been a factor in recent years, and we've really talked about this. We've gravitated away from it because the market not only accounts for it, but in recent times over-adjusts, and that's the West Coast team traveling east for the early start. However, I think in this spot, you have to factor it in a touch because it's game one of the regular season. And when you look at Oakland's preseason, not only are those games, you know, Pacific time, they're also starting extremely late. Like, they had night games every single time, right? 3 preseason games didn't start until 10 Eastern. The other one, 8 p.m. Eastern. They were all night games. I think you have to factor it in a little bit for this specific game.
It definitely bears watching. I mean, we've talked about it at great lengths, and people still trying to employ the West Coast teams traveling east. As you mentioned, definitely built into the market. But every situation a little bit different. And I guess this situation unfolding in your backyard, pretty different as well. We're Miami right now, a 2.5-point underdog playing host to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Total sits at 41 at betonline.ag. Obviously, this total has come down considerably from where it opened during the summer at 47. But some other elements in play. I'm not sure we should spend a ton of time on it because by the latest updates from Adam Schefter, there's a good chance this game may not be played because of Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing right there. The total saw significant sharp money, open 47. That was the first wave of under money. We saw it then settle in 44, 44 and a half, which is, you know, is a key number. So we saw a second wave of money come in. We'll probably have a better indication of what's going to transpire with Hurricane Irma tomorrow in terms of its path. I had a chance to speak with someone who's just extremely savvy when it comes to hurricanes, like he is the hurricane whisperer. He says this is the most unpredictable hurricane he's ever seen. It now moved to a Category 5 overnight. There was an initial inkling to move this game up in the week, play it Thursday, play it Friday. I think the issue with that becomes if you're playing this game Friday, does that allow enough time for everyone to kind of get out of town? Does it allow the Dolphins players, their family, enough time to prepare for what's going on here? They made mention that they both have the same bye week, so we could see a scenario where these two teams skip week one altogether, have this matchup in the bye week. The NFL hates teams playing 16 games in a row, so I think we're going to find out a lot more about this situation unfolding in the next 24 to 36 hours.
I want to ask you one question about Tampa signing of T.J. Ward, who was cut by the Broncos. Do we think what can he do for the back end for the Bucs this season?
He's an improvement. I mean, I think when we talk about these cuts that happened, this isn't a surprise. I know he kind of made it sound like the Broncos were unprofessional, but flat out, Elway had conversations with his agent and said, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to be negotiating an extension here. They had him on the trade block about a week ago. All signs pointed to this transpiring. Now, is he a good player? Absolutely. The question becomes they liked some of their young guys. Is his current production worth what he's getting paid? And if you're not going to re-sign him, why don't we implement some of those younger guys? Now, the question mark here for Denver becomes, not to veer off too far, do they have enough toughness now? We know the middle of their defense is susceptible to some things, and now you don't have your head-hunting safety. So that will be interesting, but they like a lot of their young guys there. That's all I know. And he is a huge improvement to that Tampa secondary.
And, of course, the Broncos playing on Monday night against the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll preview that game in greater detail when we return on Monday, along with the other Monday night football game between New Orleans and Minnesota. Always fun to get the double dip as far as the NFL Week 1 tradition is concerned. Another tradition, we see it unfold twice a season in the AFC North, hard-hitting clashes between the Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals, a three-point favorite, lay $1.05 at betonline.ag. Total in this game, 42.5. And Payne, I think when we handicap this one, we should start with the obvious. What can we realistically expect from Joe Flacco, who will be facing live bullets for the first time all season against the Bengals?
Yeah, he actually hasn't started practicing until Saturday. Saturday was the first time he was throwing passes. He is not going to be 100% for this game. And quite frankly, he hasn't even been good since signing his extension when he was 100%. I don't know where they turn here. My feeling is this is going to be a lot of ground and pound, especially when you factor in what the Bengals defense is going to be without this week. No Perfect, no Adam Jones, no Sean Williams. Really the three guys that are the attitude of that defense. Baltimore's going to play bully ball here. They're going to want to be physical, and we've seen this all offseason. Marvin Lewis has been complaining about the toughness of the younger Bengals team, and it was all because of this game here. When we talk about those younger Bengals, John Ross hasn't practiced all week, so let's see if he's available. There's a lot of question marks here. We've talked about Baltimore's defense. They're going to be fantastic this year. Can they generate just a little bit more of a pass rush here? We know that's going to be needed when you face Cincinnati. It's the first thing when you're going to handicap Cincinnati games all season. Does the opponent's defense have a pass rush? Can they get to the quarterback? Because that's going to change what Cincinnati does offensively. It's going to have to be a quick passing attack for the Bengals this year, and we know Baltimore's defense is going to be flying around. This game I don't want to touch because I don't really like either of these teams in terms of having huge holes. This Cincinnati defense really, really regressed last year. I don't know if they're going to be better, especially for this game. Baltimore, Joe Flacco, I just have no idea. So this for me is a clear pass. I do think at some point we see some under money here.
As we mentioned, the total sits at 42.5, so we'll be curious to see where that number goes if it falls below key numbers of 42 and or closer to 41 with kickoff. I guess, Payne, this game probably not one of the marquee matchups by any stretch of the imagination taking place out west, but there is a little bit of intrigue and want to get your thoughts from a handicapping perspective in terms of what we should do with the information out there. The Rams, 3.5-point home favorites at betonline.ag against the Indianapolis Colts. Total here, 41.5. Obviously, the total has been shrinking ever since it opened at 47. No Andrew Luck for the Colts. We know that Scott Tolzien will get the start, but a major absence on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams with Aaron Donald not reporting to camp. How do we look at the Colts without Andrew Luck? I guess the first thing, has the market responded enough? And what kind of downgrade do we have to do to our power profile for the Rams the longer that Aaron Donald isn't out there for this otherwise pretty talented defense?
Okay, so two things here. When we look at the Indianapolis Rams game, it reopened 3 across the board. So we're now out to 3.5. We've done this already, right? Like last Thanksgiving, we had Luck to Tolzien move where the Colts opened 2.5-point dog. They peaked as high as 10 before professional money came in, and I think that closed anywhere between 8 or 9. It was literally Thanksgiving weekend. Now, when we say a 7.5-point move opened a peak, it's way more than that because that situation, it went through the 3, 4, 6, and 7. I think for whatever reason, there's a lot of folks that want to downplay the significance of injuries. And while I agree, for the most part, there's certain guys and there's certain teams you can't do that for. And unfortunately for Tolzien, he's been the backup man for both of these situations. It's now Luck to Tolzien. We had this in 2013 with Aaron Rodgers to Tolzien, where it took literally 3-4 weeks for books to finally realize, man, that's about a 10-point downgrade. And so there's reluctance to move it too much. But now when we're looking at this line through that key number 3, we're talking about 6, 6.5 points. We're probably trending in the right direction there. But you look at the opposing team. Do they have a quarterback? That's the one thing you have to factor in. What is Goff? Right, and if you don't think they also have a quarterback, you don't make the downgrade isn't as significant here. In terms of Aaron Donald, he is the best interior defensive lineman in the league, better than J.J. Watt. It's not even debatable. He is worth a full point.
When do we think we see Aaron Donald back with the Rams?
When he gets his contract.
So which side blinks first? You think he's willing to sit this out as long as possible to get the franchise to give him the deal that he feels he so rightly deserves?
My feeling is he's not showing up this week. And if he doesn't show up for week one, then I think he's not showing up. And we kind of touched on this a little bit. When you have a guy like Aaron Donald who's done everything right, not only on the field, but off the field, he's kind of been the face of your organization. Now, I know you're trying to make Goff the face because he's more marketable. The quarterback's more marketable. But this is your leader in the locker room. This is a guy who's done everything right. What message does it send when you're not paying your homegrown talent who's done everything right on the field and off the field? It sends a bad message. I think the organization is going to have to bite at some point here and give him what he wants.
And this is a game I'm curious to see now that there was limited resistance at the key number 3 as it ticks out to 3.5, where this price will go before you ultimately see.
I mean, we've seen Tolzien before, right?
Oh, we've seen him plenty.
We kind of know what he is. The question is,
the correct answer there is not very good.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. And it's so funny. I mean, he's been in both situations replacing Luck and Aaron Rodgers. And so that's the biggest thing overall when you're gauging what the value is of these backup quarterbacks or what the value is of the headliners like a Tom Brady, like an Aaron Rodgers, right? Tom Brady is probably the best quarterback of all time, but you at least have something behind him where that drop-off isn't as large, where you have a guy like Luck, who's fantastic, but a lot of his namesake is reputation at this point, right? He's been off injured. He hasn't been able to win the big game. But the drop from Luck to Tolzien is far more significant than Brady to Garoppolo.
Well, and I think that's something that we'll talk about. Obviously, injury is a major part of handicapping football on a week-in, week-out basis, but it's not just what the starter brings to the table. You're exactly right. Talking about what that drop-off looks like from QB1 to QB2 in a lot of these high-profile situations that we saw with New England. You mentioned last year, Jimmy Garoppolo and even Jacoby Brissett, before ultimately being traded to these same Colts, they were fine at least at stabilizing the position because they were able to play in the confines of the offense. Two teams, Bill Payne, who I don't think want to see backup quarterbacks anytime during the season. We'll call them front runners to win the NFC and probably the marquee matchup of the daytime slate at least. Green Bay, a 3-point favorite playing host to the Seattle Seahawks. Total sits at 51 right now at betonline.ag. Line really has remained unchanged, but you have seen a little bit of over money enter the market.
Do you agree with that?
I actually do agree with it. I think the Seattle's offense will be much more high-powered and ability to pick up chunk yardage this year.
A little underlying chuckle there.
Yeah. And we saw what Green Bay did to the Seattle defense a season ago. Let's just say 51 may not be high enough, and there are even some 50.5s out there right now.
So, the 51's a key number, so that's important to monitor. The two major questions for Seattle. Offensively, it looks like they have weapons all over the damn place. Can they get a good enough offensive line play? And you lose your left tackle, George Faint. That doesn't help. I think there is a silver lining when you start to dig a little bit deeper into that offensive line. They came on and improved a little bit late. Seattle was actually top 10 in explosive runs. So there is some silver lining there. Defensively, they appear to be healthy. Can they return to being that dominant force? We know Earl Thomas went down last year. That unit became a shell of itself without their street sweeper, so to speak, in the back end, just covering all plays that weren't very good. We know a lot of their corners, they like to be physical. They like to press. They're going to make some mistakes, and Earl Thomas was there to clean it up. But once Earl Thomas went out, they were the worst defense in terms of explosive plays allowed. It appears, through one method or another, the Seattle's defense looks pretty healthy this year. You will want to Google that. The methods many players used required a trip out of the country. So they appear to be very healthy, including KJ Wright.
I don't have any idea what you'd be insinuating by that type of remark.
Well, it's not FDA approved because apparently they abstract your blood, warm it up, and then throw it back into your system.
Isn't that what magic used to cure AIDS?
But magic did something. He's still breathing.
Yeah,
he's still breathing and slaying.
I feel like there's something with a centrifuge and warming blood, but I digress completely. We don't want to get into the medical realms of what athletes do to keep themselves on the field and or alive. Go ahead.
Apparently the treatment will last 2 to 3 years, as crazy as that sounds. So it's everything points to Seattle really focusing on this specific season and making sure everyone's healthy. For Green Bay, they need to improve defensively. The question becomes, can they? I am not so sure. Dom Capers just isn't very good, but the style he wants to employ requires having cornerbacks that can play on an island. He wants to blitz those linebackers. He wants to blitz his cornerbacks. They drafted King. You could see him shaking the GM's hand when that pick was selected. Maybe he steps in day one. Maybe you get some improvement from guys like Randall and Rollins. That's going to be absolutely needed. The one thing that scares me a little bit, the Packers offense cannot have any decline whatsoever. And they lost two pieces in the offseason. J.C. Treader, their center. I know he was injured last year, so he really didn't play a ton. But you lose T.J. Lang as well. The offense cannot drop even a tick for Green Bay to have overall success. The one addition, though, is Martellus Bennett. He is going to play a massive role for this offense. And when you start to dig in a little bit, this offense in general is pretty vanilla. And when you have a tight end like Bennett who can move around, it makes it much tougher on the defense in terms of formations, where you're going to be lining up. You have to account for him. And Jared Cook, to me, has been a guy where physically he looks the part, he comes off the bus, looks fantastic, runs fast for a guy of his size, but I don't think he's that great. But when you look, when he played last year, the Packers were 10-3 with Cook. They didn't have Cook, they were 2-4 in those games. So Cook's gone, they replace him with Martellus Bennett. that's going to be key to watch, because where you can move Bennett around, and he can line up out wide, he can line up in the slot, he can line up and pose as a blocker and then go out for pass. So that's going to make this offense much more difficult to prepare for.
When you look at Seattle, a very muddled situation in their offensive backfield. I mean, in your expert opinion, who do you think ends up getting the lion's share of the carries? Are we seeing Thomas Rawls? Are we seeing CJ Procise? Are we going to see Eddie Lacy and the kid Carson from, I believe, Oklahoma State? I mean, which one of these guys becomes the bell cow, or does it become a revolving door for Pete Carroll and company in terms of moving the football on the ground?
It's tough. I mean, options are a beautiful thing, but man, they have some tough choices here. Procise is just an absolute beast when it comes to catching balls out of the backfield. He is a nightmare problem for linebackers and safeties to cover, so he is going to have his carved out role. He's certainly not going to be the main, you know, breadwinner when it comes to carries. I think they really want Lacy to be involved there. I just don't think he's better than the other two backs as pure runners, and we're going to see that as the season materializes. For fantasy guys, I don't want anything to do with him. I think Carson showed some promise. I think Rawls is probably the best overall back there. So, I mean, I don't know who they're going to use. I think they're just going to go with the hot hand. I think they try the big man there initially. I just think they have better options when it comes to running between the tackles.
I have to imagine the big man will get some goal line touches in his return to Lambeau.
He's making 55K every time he drops about 3 pounds.
Which was weird, because they said the whole time that Seattle actually wanted him to put on weight for this position, to be that big bruising back.
I think you being the health guy, I think it's more like healthy weight, you know?
Yeah, it's that muscle mass and everything else. Yeah. I just watch him, and he just looks slow and sloppy out there.
He does. I think they have two better runners between the tackles, and without question, Procise is their best third down back when it comes to the matchup problems that he's going to give defenses. You know, played some wide receiver in high school, was a just a terror out of the backfield at Notre Dame when they could actually get him the ball. And I think he's going to be a terror. We saw in a short sample size, especially that game we alluded to earlier when they took the trip to New England, he was a factor in the pass game. So he gets injured after that, comes back a little bit, not himself. I think he is just an absolute matchup nightmare.
And I would tell folks, given this standalone time slot, late afternoon on Sunday alongside the Colts and Rams, and Panthers 49ers, this will be the most heavily bet game, not only of that time slot, maybe of the day. So if you were inclined to go over, probably encourage people to do it sooner rather than later. Into the night campaign, where the Giants will head to Big D to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, 0-5 against the spread, their last five against the division rivals. For as strong as the Cowboys were a season ago, they lost both meetings to the Giants. The Giants going into Dallas winning 20-19 week one, and then week 13 in a game where weather played a major role. Giants squeaking out a 10-7 victory. First things first here, will we see Ezekiel Elliott on the football field? Not only week one, but is there a chance we see him out there all 17 weeks for the Dallas Cowboys, with this suspension potentially getting tabled into the offseason?
I'm going to leave that up to you. You're the smart guy here. You read contracts all day long. You speak to many lawyers. I just know what his impact is on the field, right? He was number one in adjusted yards above replacement for running backs. He was number two in successful runs, 57% of them graded out successful last year. You lose two guys on the offensive line, that onus, that extra pressure is going to be put on Zeke's shoulders. He is going to absolutely be needed here. You feel like you have a little better idea of what's going to transpire here. It sounds like this is going to be a deadlock, and it's now into the court system's hands.
Yeah, my gut is, from reading through it and from talking to people, and I'm not going to say I have inside information on the situation or claim to be a legal expert by any stretch of the imagination. Not sure what Zeke's status will be all season long, but I would be pretty confident that we will see Zeke out there on the field, at least for opening night. I don't think the NFL really wants to get in the way of the legal system. You know, we know that Roger Goodell and his team of hatchet men like to play judge, jury, and executioner, but at some point you have to let the legal process run its course, and we saw with Tom Brady that the NFL waited as long as possible before they ultimately handed down that edict. And I think Zeke is going to be out there by doing what he did in the court system in the state of Texas. I think that when you're handicapping this game, you're going to have an opportunity to maybe get a little bit of an edge by laying the number out there now, 3.5 even at BetOnline, total of 47.5. Cheap buy down to 3 if you like the Cowboys before Zeke officially gets ruled in, and you could see this number go. I ask you, though,
wise for the league too, right? Giants Dallas opening weekend.
Oh, you want your stars. You want your stars out there. You 100% want your stars out there. There is not a doubt in my mind that the NFL, despite, you know, wanting to hand down the verdict on the Z case,
maybe wait a week.
Exactly. Wouldn't mind delaying this a little bit to put some of their stars out there. But I ask you about the on-field matchup, Payne. What did the Giants do so successfully a season ago when most of the league had problems figuring out Dallas? The Giants were able to beat them twice. Now, I know week one comes with a little bit of a caveat. That was Dak Prescott's first game, some new pieces. But they silenced that Dallas offense pretty effectively the second meeting as well.
Well, that was just it. I know it was his first meeting, but he wasn't great in the second meeting either. They're going to make Dak beat them. And they had the defensive line that was, one, got pressure on the quarterback from the edge, and two, was able to hold its own and stop the run with just the front four. They didn't need to send, like most teams, multiple guys into the box, send multiple run blitzes where it leaves your secondary exposed. That was the one advantage this Dallas defense had over everyone else in the league. And we talked about how great that move was. Finished second in defensive efficiency despite facing one of the toughest schedules in all of NFL. They're going to be even better this year. Now, if they can stop the run with just their front four, huge advantage to the Giants. Let's see if they can do that. I don't think there will be an issue doing that. This year, for the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to need quite the season from Dak. He was fantastic last year. I would think there's only going to be a little bit of regression here. And that offensive line, well, it's going to be very good, and this is kind of how we try to look at these teams. That offensive line allowed the entire team to play a certain style, which was somewhat keep away. So if the offensive line, let's say, goes from the first or second best unit and drops to even the seventh or eighth best unit, that is going to be a huge burden on the rest of the team. One, on Dak's shoulders. Two, on your defense. That's going to be something you're going to have to monitor, because even the slightest dip from that offensive line is going to pay huge dividends to this Cowboys team.
Can this Cowboys defense, in your opinion, step up? I mean, we talk about the offense and how good it was, especially on the offensive line. Regression probably seems like a natural thought process there. Do we think this defense did enough to try and improve to mask some of those potential deficiencies should the offensive line drop into the bottom half of the top 10 like you alluded to?
Here's the thing for the defense. A lot of new parts. They went much younger in the secondary. They're going to need a lot of those new guys to perform and start day one. I will say this, though. The defensive coordinator has the parts to the system he wants to employ, and he hasn't really had that the last few seasons. So that becomes the question. Is the sum greater than the parts? I think potentially they downgraded a little bit talent-wise, but if you can get guys that run the scheme you want to run, do we see a tick up there just a little bit? That's going to be the question mark here. This is a game where I don't see a ton of value. However, I think it makes sense if you listen. This is a division game. It's week one. We know what the Giants defense is. We know it stifles that offense a little bit. If you liked the under here, you wait until Zeke gets announced in. I think we see a tick up. And now that we're at 47.5, you may be able to get to 48. You may be able to get to 48.5. You may, God forbid, it being the standalone game, plus Zeke getting announced, maybe this goes to 49. And then you probably look under.
We've talked at great lengths about Zeke, but obviously there is a major offensive star on the other side of the ball. Odell Beckham hasn't practiced in suffering that injury in the preseason against the Cleveland Browns. Is it a safe assumption to make he will be out there week one for the Giants? And if he is, can he be anywhere close to 100%?
That's a good question. I would think he tries to give it a go. Is he 100%? I don't know. I don't know on that. Marshall also dealing with a little bit of a nagging shoulder as well. But it's week one. They'll be out there.
It's just one of those things. When you look at this Giants team, we know how good the defense can be. I think it's not quite rinse and repeat, but I expect the unit.
But I
to
think
be-
that makes sense, right? All those guys are probably going to get announced in. So
you would think
I would wait a little bit.
Exactly. As far as, you know, entering the market, we talk about all the time. Use those external clues in some of your reading and research to try and grab the best of the number. Even if you don't feel it'll be at the 100%, we know how the market will respond. And Payne, it's almost time for the strongest investment of the week. But before we do that, let's talk to one of our good friends down in the islands. He joins us every week here on the Bet the Board podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And Dave, week one of college football in the books. But before we shut that, and we'll obviously get to some of the wins and losses that you guys experienced on tomorrow's college pod, you guys apparently had a pretty big parlay winner over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He was great.
That guy. 500 bucks and 80,000. Oh, yeah, that guy.
81,000 or whatever it was. No, he had a 8-teamer, 500 bucks. And he took home, I think it was, $85,000, $81,000. So all chalk, all overs. So, no, congrats to him. Got to love those $500 18 parlays coming in. So you can see that, $81,334.89 profit, $500. So 8-teamer, all college, all chalk, all overs. You can see that bet ticket on my Twitter handle at Dave Mason BOL. So head on over and see his picks.
And Payne, Dave doesn't sound bitter about that in the least. No. Right there when he talks about it.
No, not at all.
That guy.
Dave, I'm not going to throw any 12-6 curveballs at you here. We're going to talk week one NFL action. Where are the sharps? Where are the squares? What does that look like for early action?
The sharp stuff, you know, that there's been, these lines have been up so long, so they've been, you know, they've been hitting them here or there, but you know, the big sharp action still yet to come in over the next couple days. But Browns +9, that's down to 8. Giants got hit off the Ezekiel Elliott news at +5.5 down to +3.5. Houston -4, -4.5, that's now -5.5. That's probably the sharpest play. People hit that Tampa total on the under early just because of the hurricane news. We think Tennessee will be under, will be sharp, and Dallas Giants under, we believe that will be sharp. So that's the sharp stuff right now. More will be coming in. Public, a lot of lopsided action here, especially Thursday night. This Thursday night game is going to be huge. And no surprise, we all know what the Patriots did to the sports books last year. What were they, 17-2 against the spread? So the public is all over the Patriots again Thursday night. 81% of the action is on the Patriots now, up to -8.5 over the Chiefs. That big Sunday afternoon matchup, Packers-Seahawks. The Packers is the public play. 65% of the action's on the Packers, -3. Giants, very lopsided. Again, a lot of that action came in off the news of Elliott. 77% of the action's on the Giants. Saints, Monday night, 73% of the action's on the Saints, +3.5 at the Vikings. And also the Falcons -7 over the Bears and the Steelers -8 over the Browns. Those are two huge public plays as well. So there'll be plenty of sweats Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday and Monday.
It's good to have NFL week one back on the books, Dave. And when we look towards players that still may not have gotten on board with Bet Online for some of the earliest college and NFL numbers in the business, especially those loyal to Bet the Board, what kind of promotions can they expect all fall long playing in your shop?
Yeah, come on over. Like you said, we had those early lines. The other day, our headlines guy hit me up. He's like, college is going up. And then he described it. He's like, you ever see those videos when they throw a big hunk of meat in the pool, piranhas? And all those piranhas are just picking at that meat, devouring it. He's like, that's what this is like when we put those early numbers up. So be one of those piranhas. Go in there and get those early numbers. If you do not have a BetOnline account, go over to betonline.ag. Sign up for an account. Use promo code 75BTB for 75% welcome bonus. If you already have a betonline.ag account and you have not used the one-time Bet the Board reload bonus, use promo code 50BTB for a one-time 50% sportsbook bonus. The maximum bonus on both of these is $1,000. All the terms and conditions can be found at promotions.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
And Dave, we get questions all the time. Before we let you go, the best deposit methods to try and get money in their account for new players would be which?
Well, the most ideal is Bitcoin, but we also know that not everybody's into Bitcoin. If you aren't into Bitcoin, get yourself into Bitcoin because it's the easiest way to do this. It's a little confusing at first, but if I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out, and that's the honest to God truth. So, you know, until the first half hour, I'm like, what the heck's this? But you'll get it. We also, you can call us. We also have, you know, Bitcoin specials will help you through, walk you through it. But that's the best way. But credit cards, you know, all sorts of ways. It's all the, we have also, check out betonline.ag/banking, and we have all the methods right there, all the information, all the deposit and withdrawal methods. Yeah, and Bitcoin's not even good for paying for funding your account, but also getting paid. I mean, you get paid the quickest. You get paid, you know, hours, 24 hours top. So it's the best way to go, without a doubt.
Nothing wrong with being a wave of the future, Dave. Always great getting your take. We know who the house will be rooting for on Sunday. And for those folks that, you know, may not have a skin in the game themselves, they'll have some rooting interest for a few home dogs. Hopefully a couple of them get there. All right. Look forward to getting you back on here tomorrow. Talk a little college football week one recap, and look forward to all things week two on the college gridiron as well, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good weekend.
Payne, with all this talk of Bitcoin as a viable deposit method for offshore books these days, we may have to you know, start introducing Mason not only as the point man for betonline.ag, but as like Bitcoin Buffett, and give him like 90 seconds to talk about his investing tips to try and protect your long-term retirement strategy.
Bitcoin Buffett, I like that. But man, taking shots when the guy isn't even here to defend himself anymore.
I'm not afraid to take shots at him when he's on here. We'll give him a good chance to defend himself. I was a little bit nervous that I felt like I unfairly asked him to know the exact amount that $500 parlay hit for. So I have to apologize to Dave for that.
I will say, just through lots of reading and research, you were busting his balls earlier this season about being a point man. I went to his Twitter feed, Dave Mason, BOL. Point man has been stripped.
He caved under peer pressure.
It appears as such.
I feel like a terrible human. I feel like a terrible human a lot of days I wake up living in Las Vegas, but I mean, today I feel even worse because my goal is never to come on here and belittle anyone outside of taking shots at myself with self-deprecating humor.
Not good, my friend. Not good.
Yeah, we'll find a way. We'll find a way to make it up to him one way, shape, or form. We'll give him a few softballs in the college football podcast and make sure Dave feels comfortable with us. But week one, it's always a good time to shine. Last year, we, I believe, if memory serves me correct, we had the Tampa Bay Bucks +3.5 against the Atlanta Falcons to kick things off. They got there outright. Will not claim to believe that I thought the Falcons could win the entire NFC after watching that performance. But Payne, where do we see an opportunity to make a few bucks for NFL week one?
We have to give out a game. That's what this thing is about here.
I mean, in theory, we should give out a game. I think it'd be hysterical, though, for all the people that have listened for damn near an hour and be like, yeah, we're going to pass on week one. We're going to wait for a better investment opportunity to try and come our way.
What do we think? We want to go to the land of cheesesteaks.
I mean, we can, because this might be the first time. We might be making bet the board history if we go there with the angle that I think we're going to try and attack.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go with the Eagles.
All right, we'll go with the Eagles. I thought for a second when you said cheesesteaks, I almost thought we were going to go to Land of Cheese and go over for the first time. But no, we don't want to get outside the bet the board comfort zone. We're not we're not going that far. We've evolved. We haven't evolved enough to start giving out overs in prime time type scenarios yet.
No. Let's go with the Philadelphia Eagles this week.
Philadelphia Eagles, we'll call it for official grading purposes, a pick widely available out here in the desert, a few shops, especially at Bet Online Offshore. But we're going to back the Philadelphia Eagles and get on the Wentz wagon for week one and hope that the Redskins' regression starts right out of the gates. Payne, week one podcast officially in the books. Week two for the NFL, returning to our normal recording schedule Monday night, as I mentioned. We'll have a dual breakdown, obviously, of the Vikings and Saints along with the Chargers and Broncos. But the big question here, have we figured out a movie that we're going to have available for Movie Review Monday, assuming we're bringing it back in the 2017 season?
Yeah, I plan to bring it back. We plan to bring it back. Maybe review, was there one or two movies that were really good we saw over the summer?
I mean, I'll be honest here. I only saw one movie that I think it'd be worth bringing up, Dunkirk. So I may have to try and find a way to get myself to the theater. I don't even know what's out right now.
Yeah, this week could be tough with everything going down. Yeah, we could review Dunkirk.
All right, we can potentially do that. And as always, we want to hear you, our loyal listeners, feedback. If there are movies that you recommend, we can go check those out. But Movie Monday will return as regularly scheduled on Mondays, along with some of the look-ahead lines, some of what we saw most recently, and really looking forward to getting into the swing of things, as we talked about. Being creatures of habit, even recording podcasts goes a long way. But the final reminder for all of those folks, when you hear us on Monday, it'll be too late to sign up for the football 5K free roll. BetTheBoard.footballcontest.com. Over 1,100 entries at time of recording on Tuesday morning. You'll have up until kickoff on Sunday. But please, please don't wait till the last second in case there is some technical issues that may come up when, you know, all of our minions go there and try and load their picks at the same time. So, Payne, I think we've done well by our listeners to kind of get them off on the right foot to start the season.
I guess the only thing that really matters is if the Eagles win or not.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole thing. Like, I always wonder, like, if we, you know, ever, heaven forbid, you know, lost two games in a row, if nobody would come back to listen to the podcast.
It's quite possible. You are pretty unlikable. They're not coming to hear you.
No, I mean, no one wants to hear my voice on a regular basis. There's a reason I, you know, moved 1,000 miles away from my family as a young kid, and 2,000 miles away later in life. So, you know, I don't. It happens, buddy. It happens, and that's why you live 2,000 miles away, and we don't record this podcast in the same room. Safety.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But, hey, let's put it this way. I know that, you know, a lot of folks still recovering and will be for quite some time from Hurricane Harvey throughout southeastern Texas. But to all of our listeners that may be affected by Hurricane Irma, especially you, Payne, down there in South Florida, you know, our thoughts will be with you. Do take those precautions. Encourage people that gambling becomes an afterthought. Your safety and security for you and your loved ones are always the priority for all things we do around here.
Yeah, no question about it. So hopefully we'll have a little clearer picture today, end of day, maybe tomorrow, on where this is going to head. I think we're going to get hit no matter what. We're going to definitely have the effects of it. Just a matter of if we get hit with the eye or we sidestep it a little bit and it hits Cuba. The thing we were talking about before we got on air is if it hits Cuba and kind of goes into the Gulf there, oof. I mean, Texas cannot handle any more or rainfall. So it'll be interesting to monitor. But this is, I woke up this morning, it became a Category 5. So I was told from a hurricane expert, he labeled this beast mode. So this one's going to be nothing to play around with.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but the fact that you have a hurricane expert in your Rolodex.
He's a Florida State guy, too.
Oh, shocker. Shocker. Well, you know what? It's funny you mentioned a hurricane warning. You might have one of those involving your beloved Florida State Seminoles next week. But we can get to that when we get to it. Bet the Board NFL Podcast. Of course, tune in on Wednesdays all fall long, the College Football Edition. You can follow the podcast, Bet the Board Pod. You can follow Payne Insider at Payne Insider. You can follow me, Todd Furman. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in. Place those Philadelphia Eagles investments, and hopefully come Sunday afternoon, we'll see you at the window.